But you are on this planet. If Christ has saved you, you belong to Him, and you are here for the specific purpose to bring honor and glory to God Almighty and nothing else.
I can't wait for eternity.
folks, if you have your Bible this morning, we are in John chapter 17. We'll be reading verses 11 through 20. So what's with the church? What is so important about the church? And I think you and I have a mission that we are called to do as Christians, and we're going to talk about one of those aspects this morning. So why don't you stand with me, please, as we honor God's word. John chapter 17, if you're using a Pew Bible, that's on page 1139, and verse number 11 says, "And now I am no more in the world," of course Jesus is speaking, "but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither I pray thee for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." And of course, that would be you and I. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and the truth of it. Lord, there is a major battle going on in society today for truth versus error. It is in every part of our news cycle. It's in every part of the people that we encounter. It is hard to figure out just what is the truth and what is the error. But thankfully, through the power of the Holy Spirit, which dwells in every Christian that has trusted you as their Savior, through the knowledge of the Word of God, which guides us and gives us direction, for the association of godly people that love you and want to follow you, we can know the truth, and the truth will set us free. I ask this morning that we would see the truth clearly as it is presented from your word. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Church of Jesus Christ was founded, of course, by Christ himself. Christianity is the belief, the following of Jesus Christ. When you recognize that you are a sinner, that you have a fallen nature, that there is no good in you. The Bible teaches that the heart of man is evil and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That is what our true nature is. We are sinners, born into the world by sin. We get our sin nature from Adam. In a Christian term, it's the old Adamic nature. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore as by one man, Adam, sin entered in the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." We are all sinners. We are all dying. And at some point in our lives, thankfully, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the message of the gospel made sense to you. You recognize that you were a sinner on your way to hell, but Jesus interceded in your life, someone shared the gospel with you, and you trusted Christ as your Savior. Then you became a Christian. As a Christian, now you are part of the ecclesia, the Greek word, which is a called out group of people, which is where we get the word church from, that called out group of people, believers in Jesus Christ. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are part of the church just as well as someone in Florida, someone in Texas, someone in a foreign country. If they know Christ, they are part of that church. But God also set up the local New Testament church so that you could have a place to go to and worship with other believers. And we are a believer in that local New Testament church. We believe that that is the system that God put together for you and I to come together with on a regular basis and to be fortified, encouraged, helped, dealing with issues that we all have, if you will. AA is known for their meetings, Alcoholics Anonymous, if you will. This is our AA meeting. Happens every Sunday. I don't know about you, but I need you folks, not because you help pay my bills. It's not the financial equation. I need you to hear. Isn't there something special that goes on when we worship the Lord in song? And a lot of times, if you look over at me and I'm not singing, it's because I'm taking it in. There's just something. Now, thankfully, we don't all stop singing to take it in. But every now and then, you ought to just step back and just listen to God's people praising Him. And I'm telling you, it's awesome. It's just wonderful to be in God's house and hear those songs sung and lifted Jesus up. The Bible says, Jesus, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. When you and I lift up Christ, you are attracting the lost to Jesus Christ because He promised that would work. So what happens in the Christian faith when you and I trust Christ as our Savior? He empowers us to live this life, and He prepares us to end this life at some point. So we have power to live, and honestly, we have the recognition that we are going to die, and we are ready for that. We have a home in heaven prepared in John chapter 14. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here. So I have a question for you, Christian. If every Christian practiced their faith just like you do, how strong would the church be? If every Christian prayed like you do, how strong would the church be? If every Christian attended church like you do, how strong would the church be? If every part of faith that you live was like everybody else, how strong would the team be? Ponder that. Because the church is made up of believers exercising their faith. And when that does not happen, see, Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, Matthew chapter 16. What He was saying is the church is an incredible, powerful force that hell cannot stop. And I want you to know, you cannot stop the church of Jesus Christ. No one can. But it can stop itself by not practicing what we know to be true. The authority of God's word, the truth that is written in it, the power in prayer that you and I have. You know, Satan hates prayer. And that's one of the reasons why you and I don't pray like we should, because there's an all-out effort to stop you from praying. You know, you can't sin when you pray, and you can't pray when you sin. So therefore, there's this conundrum going on, and Satan wants to make sure. Have you noticed, Christian, that there is a struggle for your time, especially when it comes to the things of the Lord? Have you noticed that when you think, oh, I hear the church is going to do X, I want to be a part of that. And then when the time comes, all of a sudden there's 500 other things that you think you ought to be doing, that I'm going to do that in the church next time. I'll be sure and be a part of that next time. And the Church of Jesus Christ is not that all-powerful force, because the members of it are not the driving force that He intended for you and I to be. See, He's given us all the tools. But the fact is, there is a lot of competing influences going on in your life. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. But in the world, we've got all of these things that we think we need to be doing, and we are putting aside the most important things for the urgent things. A lot of times those urgent things aren't all that urgent, but we think they are, and Satan will lead you to believe that they are, and you're missing out on some of the greatest things that could take place as we function as the body of the church. The church is built on the fact that Jesus said He would build it. So we are stewards. We are caretakers. We have said in the past, we are stewards of God's word. You're not going to hear God's word anywhere else than in the church. Doesn't happen. Now, I know you hear it on Christian radio, all those things. Those things are sponsored by churches. Those people that are teaching on the radio attend a church, and they've gotten their education from a church or a seminary or a board of believers that got their training in a church. Now, I know we have colleges, we have all of that stuff, but let me tell you, none of those would exist without the church. The church is the foundation for truth. So we have God's word that we are stewards of. The church is also the home of truth. It's the narrow way. It's exclusive. The world is wide open. The church is narrow. The Bible teaches few there be that find it. So what does the church try to do? It tries to open it up. Oh, we don't want to be so narrow-minded. You know, why does do you like being called names? Nobody does. So not wanting to be called a name, we try to do away with whatever we're being called. Narrow-minded, bigoted. Oh, I'm not all narrow-minded. I love people. Let's just let everybody in. Let's just, no. Do not change the dynamic that God gave us through his son, Jesus Christ. We are unusual. We are a peculiar people. We are strange. And when you try to act different than that, you're going to become like the world, and we've lost the ability that we have to reach the world. I was reminded of that this week when, I don't know if you saw if you get the same news feeds that I do, I'm no fan of the Catholic Church. Amen. All right? Fact is, I'm no fan of the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Muslims, the Hindus, any one of those satanic fabrications that Satan has been able to come up with to take the place of truth. The Catholic Church this week, the Pope said this, and I'm quoting, "All religions are paths to reach God. They are to make a comparison like different languages, different dialects to get there. But God is God for all. If you start to fight saying my religion is more important than yours, mine is true, yours isn't, where will all this lead us? There's only one God. And each of us has a language to arrive at God. Some are Sikh, some are Muslim, some are Hindu, some are Christians. They are all just different ways to God." That is from the Pope of the Catholic Church. And I'm telling you, Satan just absolutely loves that message. Because I'll tell you what, there is only one way to God, and that is through his son, Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." It's the narrow way. And do not apologize for the narrow way. My point in sharing that with you is if the church doesn't stand for truth, truth will not exist. It has, you have to take a stand. Let them call you anything they want. You don't care what people think. You care what God thinks. And if God is pleased with you, it doesn't matter what the world thinks. But if the world is pleased with you and God is not, you're in big trouble. Don't ever forget that. Satan couldn't be more pleased. The truth, though, don't miss this. The truth is the most loving message you could possibly give anyone, even if it hurts their feelings. The truth is a loving message. The church is the steward of truth. So, very quickly, number one, you are sanctified by truth. Now, what's sanctified? Sanctified is set apart. We have certain things that we save. I don't know how to illustrate this, but you have, ladies, you have fine china. That's sanctified china. You may even have a fancy china closet, china cabinet. You might have a windowed receptacle in your house where you can look through and see the china, but don't touch it. You can just see it. There it is in all its splendor and beauty, handed down from my great-great-great-grandma, who that plate came across on the Mayflower, and this is just beautiful china. It's sanctified, it's set apart. Do we ever eat of it? Oh, no. We wouldn't do that. Why? It's set apart. You get where I'm going, okay? You, the Bible teaches in truth, you are sanctified, you are set apart through God's truth. God wants you, Christian, to be set apart for his purpose. Now, we get to enjoy other things, but you are on this planet. If Christ has saved you, you belong to him, and you are here for the specific purpose to bring honor and glory to God Almighty and nothing else. Now, you can do other things, but in the process, you had better be bringing honor and glory to God Almighty. Now, if you want to go to a sporting event, absolutely, there's nothing wrong with that. You can go, you can enjoy the life that God has given you. One of the things I feel convicted about, my wife can attest to this, is that sometimes I meet individuals, I talk into a lady that's in this audience this morning, I won't point her out, but she's elderly, she loves life. I'm convicted by that at times because I don't get the joy out of life that I know that I should, and it bugs me. But sometimes people, I have friends that they just love life. They're so excited about anything. And I'm thinking, really? And Emily's kind of like that. You know, she's just, oh, this is so good. And anyway. We are set apart. You are distinct. God sanctified you and he set you apart as a person of truth. I've noticed something. Once I catch someone lying, I never forget it. It's true. Don't lie. Don't do it. Not even to cover for yourself. It'll only get worse. See, lies empower Satan. When you tell a lie, you are living in bondage or you are trying to enslave someone else through your lie. When the government lies to you, they are trying to control you. Don't you miss that. When they come to you and say, we're going to change health care and it's going to be better than it's ever been, it'll be freer, it'll be more accessible, anything, you name it. We all heard it. Choose your doctor, keep your doctor. This is old news. But let me tell you something. They were lying to you and they knew it. That's not the only lie they've told. I'm just using that as an illustration because the government wants to control you through lies, or if someone is telling you the truth, they want you to live a free life. Because if you know the truth will set you free. And the flip side of that is a lie will put you in bondage. Oh, I can stop drinking anytime I want to. I can control this. No, you can't. No, you can't. I can give this up, and you just fill in the blank. You are lying to yourself or someone else is. They come out with new drugs all the time. Here, if you take this, this will make you thinner, look better, all of those things. You know what? Probably not. And probably they want your money. Follow the money. Say that with me. Follow the money. It's not just in drugs. It's in anything. Follow the money. In government, follow the money. I could go on this forever. You and I should be known not as liars. We are set apart. We are special. Christians are truth tellers. Say that with me. Christians are truth tellers. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. When you and I model our life after this book right here, then you are known as a truth teller, as a Christian. Christian, if you're known as a liar, you're either lost or you're horribly backslidden, but no Christian should ever be lying, except around Christmas time when your wife wants to know what you got her. Otherwise, there is just no reason not to tell the truth. And that's just, it's where we're at. You'll know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Number one, the church is the home of truth. Number two, armed with truth of God's word, we are to speak the truth in love. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to that if you have your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, and verse number 12. If you're using a pew Bible, that is on page 1253. They're talking about, let's look at verse number 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the sake of time, and verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. I want to stop right here and say, Christian, grow up. Grow up. Some of the things that Christians are doing is just immature. Grow up. Speaking the truth in love in verse number 15. May we grow up. Now, here's my rub. Can I confess something to you? They say confession's good for the soul. There's someone over here shaking. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. I have a hard time loving someone who is actively trying to destroy others. And that's what we see happening at times. I'll read you a couple of things. I have a hard time loving this crowd, and I know that I'm called to. But in Massachusetts, House Bill number 4750 would ensure legal equality for parents and update the state's general laws establishing parentage, custody, support, and visitation of a child. How does that happen? The state removes mother and father from official documents. The bill would replace the use of mother and father to person who gave birth. In a significant legislative development, the Massachusetts House of Representatives has moved House Bill number 4750, an act to ensure legal parentage equality. Isn't that such a noble name for something that wants you to be illegal for you to say mom and dad or mother and father? Now, whoever writes this stuff, I'm having a hard time loving them. The bill makes significant strides towards supporting children both through assisted reproductive technology and ensures equality for LGBTQ families. I won't read the rest of this, but the state house members passed the bill 156-0. Zero opposition. Not only was it 156-0 in Massachusetts, but the Senate approved it 40-0. No opposition. What are we coming to? That is one instance. Our State Department, in a recent statement, the State Department acknowledged sending a memo to its staff advising against the use of gendered language like mother and father. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller emphasized the importance of respect, stating that this guidance aligns with standard government procedures. And I won't read all of this, but similar trends are emerging in other agencies, with reports indicating changes to police officer training courses in North Carolina. A revised curriculum now includes specific training on gender-neutral language, directing instructors to incorporate terms. These are the new terms they want you to use: omnigender, androgynin, cisnormativity. Who comes up with this stuff? I'm telling you what, church. If you and I don't speak the truth, this is the garbage the world is shoveling. And I know this is uncomfortable for some of you, but this is the world that you and I are called to be engaged in now. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I'm telling you, you're not going to hear this at Walmart. You're not going to find it anywhere else. If the Church of Jesus Christ does not come up and preach the Word of God, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, God created male and female." That's Bible. God created moms and dads. And anyone that wants to come along and use some other term to describe a man or a woman is godless. It's anti-biblical, and it is going to destroy society. And while we don't want to ruffle the feathers of anyone or let anybody know that that bothers us, because we just want to go along to get along, Satan's not playing that way. He wants to destroy the truth, and you know what? He's doing a pretty good job at it. It ought to make you mad. Now, obviously, we are to speak the truth in love. President Obama talked about the importance of controlling the narrative. Well, you know what? Cornerstone Baptist Church, they're not going to control the narrative of the Cornerstone Baptist Church. The narrative is God's word right here, and that's what we're going to use. And if someone comes in and they want to be called by something else, we will lovingly tell them, no, you're in our family now, and you are headed for destruction in the direction you are going in, but I've got good news. My Savior said he came to give life and to give it more abundantly. And they're being lied to. So we are to speak the truth. We are to love people. And lastly, number three, and we're out of time, we are to show, to teach, to educate, to mentor. If you're still in Ephesians chapter 4, go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Be therefore followers of God, dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling savor. We are to walk in love. Say that with me. Walk in love. Now, how does that go? Just hug everybody you see. Oh, love you, love you, love. No. No. Walk in love is to walk to model Christ. God is love. Don't miss that. Any love that doesn't look like God is not love. Any love that doesn't care about someone else, truly care, not gloss over their sin, not okay whatever they're doing because we don't want to upset them. No, God would look at them, Jesus would look at them and say, neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more. In other words, change the way you're living. And if you can't do that, then you're not walking in love. Speak the truth in love. Jesus came as a sacrifice for sin, the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. He was also a master teacher who taught 12 to change the world. Now, one of them that was chosen, obviously, was Judas, who was chosen for the purpose that he was there for. But Christ worked with a small group to go out and change the world. I love a full church. I'd rather have hundreds than a dozen. But you know what? Numbers are not where we are at. Standing for the Lord is where we are at. That's what we're supposed to do. And we try so hard to make sure that no one's offended, that they leave our church, that we want so much. Well, let's not go there. Let's not go there. One church growth leader says, don't do anything to upset your target audience. Well, Jesus said, I'm going to upset some people. And if Jesus couldn't do it without upsetting somebody, who am I? Who are you? We are to teach, show. You know, I don't know about you, but I've noticed that teaching is work. It takes time, patience, understanding. Parents will say, I'm not going to force what I believe on my children. I'll let them decide when they're old enough to make up their own minds. And I want you to know that Satan says, thank you very much. Because he is not operating in the same way. He does not share your philosophy. He and his minions are shoving down the throat of your kids every lie that they can possibly come up with. Be sure your kids, your family, your friends are familiar with the inside of a church. Let me encourage you to do this. This is your church. You attend here. This is your church. This is your altar. That's your balcony. That's your piano. This is your church. A lot of you have attended here, and you don't even know what the other side of the building looks like. Now, I'm not picking on you. Every now and then, I say, well, people ask, well, where's such and such? I said, well, it's over there. Have you ever been over there? Oh, no, I've never been there. Your assignment is to walk through this entire building. Open the closets. Look in there. This is your church. Make sure people know that this is your church. When you drive by, which nobody drives by this place, You only come here because you come to church here. But let people know this is your church. And you ain't always happy with your church. Sometimes that pastor says something really stupid. It happens. But you know what? You ain't always happy with your family either. But your family. This is your family. Warts and all. But we need each other. And we need the truth. And the truth only comes from God's word. And you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I want you to know, Stan Griffin lives the freest life you can possibly imagine. I absolutely love it. So, question. If every Christian practiced their faith like you do, how strong would your church be?